This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders welcomes you to our weekly radio ministry during our September anniversary month. We are celebrating 75 years of continuous radio broadcasts. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our worship today. Information on how to order CDs and printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to tune in at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that where your word is proclaimed this day, there may be hearts that are open and let you enter in to make them new people in Christ Jesus. We pray you will bring comfort to those who are disturbed because of the difficulties that are confronting them in their little world, that you will give us direction, for it is so often true that we do not know who to follow and where to turn. And then, O God, for grace and forgiveness, that we may have a daily fresh start, because we know that as far as the east is from the west, so far in Christ Jesus you will remove our sins from us. Hear our prayer, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, let me read you our text for today, which is found in 1 Peter, the second chapter, beginning with the 9th verse. I believe you will find it a fresh breath of air after hearing the media's presentation of how spiritually bankrupt our world really is. Since the fall into sin, this world has always lived in rebellion to its Creator. All we have to do is read our Bibles, and we see that human nature, basically speaking, has not changed a great deal. But Peter reminds us today in our text that God is building His kingdom. It is the church. But Peter is describing it as a spiritual house where Christ is the chief cornerstone, and those who have received Christ are like living stones that are being built into this house. This is Peter's description, as we have talked about it in a few Sundays ago, his description of the one Christian church. Now let me read you the part that serves as our text today. Recorded in the second chapter of 1 Peter, beginning at verse 9, that's 1 Peter 2, beginning at verse 9, we have these words, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness and into this wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of wrongdoing, they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Isn't that a fresh breeze? Isn't that wonderful to hear that God can work changes in our lives until this is descriptive of us? Perhaps you have to say at the very beginning, "I have not yet arrived." Well, I have arrived in the sense that I have been redeemed, that I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior, and that if I die, I'm going to go to heaven. But when it gets to this matter of living out the Christian faith where I am today, I have an awful lot to learn. It's probably like saying that I'm not what I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be. God has really moved me on. He begins by saying that we who are these living stones, we who have a relationship with the Lord Jesus and we know him perfectly, have a ways to go. But as far as Christ is concerned and our salvation, we walk not alone. Here he says in our text, "Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy," that is grace, "but now you have received mercy." In other words, there seems to be a before and an after. He depicts us as walking through life alone, or at the best with some human like us who perhaps can come and give us good counsel. But after all, there are so many of life's worst problems that they are not adequate to answer, and so we have a guessing game. Is this the way I ought to go? I'm out here in this big world, and after I have gotten the best advice I can get from my friends, I've got to make the decisions myself. I am walking alone. How terrible that is when we don't have answers that can see us through. How terrible it is, friend, when we are simply turning our backs on the one who can alone, who can give us that peace and that direction. Well, that's what we once were. And this is the way that the Bible describes life without Christ. But then Christ comes into this world, and he brings us his word, and he asks to come into our lives that we might receive him. When that happens, then life is quite different. In other words, He is confronting us even as I speak. He will be confronting you with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the churches around the world today, that message will be proclaimed. The message that can make you entirely different people. Now here in the passage that I have read for you already, you see that there's a before and there's an after. When it's after Christ, when Christ now comes into our lives, then I'd like to point out three things that Peter brings to our attention today. The first is that we are a part of a royal priesthood. Now, a priest was one who, in the Old Testament period, would go before God Almighty in the Holy of Holies and bring the requests of the people. The people could not enter into the presence of Christ alone. They had to have someone interceding for them. But when Jesus Christ came, there is only one mediator between God and man, and that is Jesus Christ himself. And so that means that whenever we so desire, we are our own priest. We can come directly to him, and he will feed us. So we sing, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And down into the chorus, O Lord, I come, I come. When you and I know that at any time of the day or night, we can drop to our knees or sit in our chairs or lie in our bed, whatever the position might be, and we can come to Christ. He invites us. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open that door, I will come in and I will sup with him and he with me. Oh, you know, we may need some help occasionally. But how good to know that if I'm all alone, that Savior is right there. For I am a priest coming directly to Christ. And I'm a part of a group of people who are the priesthood, the universal priesthood of all who will believe in Christ Jesus, so we can come. And here often we find another brother or sister in that church who can give us some insight. But there we are before Christ as priests. During this past month, I've had a great experience. I have been in the personal presence of two great peoples of God, Stuart Briscoe and his wife Jill. They didn't tell me anything, I don't think, that I didn't know about the basics. But they helped me so much to see where those basics really, really enter into my life. I'll just give you one example. Dr. Briscoe pointed out to us who were listening to him that when Jesus was here, he made atonement for all of our sins. And that gospel is there to forgive us our sins and to assure us that we are a part of the kingdom of God, simply by grace through faith in Christ. But then the disciples wanted him to stay around. He told them, no, it is now time for me to ascend into the kingdom of heaven. But here was Briscoe's statement. Jesus said to us, now I've done my work. It is finished. I have conquered death. I am going home to the Father. but you're going to stay here until I come to get you. Isn't that an interesting insight? I'm going. You're staying. And while you are staying here, I commission you to do the work that I did. That work primarily, to tell the story of the law and the gospel, to tell the people how much God loves them, and they can be His and live in a personal relationship with Him if they will only, empowered by the Holy Spirit, receive Jesus Christ. Now, there was a case where we were priests, the Briscoes, and those of us who were listening. We had come to be fed on the Word of God. We came to be fed by ministers of that Word who are acting in Jesus' place, Jill and Stuart Briscoe. So I again got sharpened up on this, that I'm a priest. Don't you feel that you need that too? Don't you need to hear somebody say to you, as I pray I can say this morning, this evening, you can come right into the presence of Christ, in the quietness of your home, in your automobile, just you and Jesus. I tell you, I knew that. It wasn't anything really new, but yet I needed the emphasis again and again that while I'm a part of this world that has gone so far away from God, I am also a part of another world, and that world is known as the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, and those who trust in Jesus Christ are my brothers and sisters in Him. What a blessed, refreshing thought that really is. Then maybe I can take some of this on television, which often is true, when they describe us as rather wretched beings and showing us what terrible things the human being can do and are doing, or for personal benefit, for political reasons, whatever they might be. We have a Savior, and He loves us. Now here's another one. Peter says, once you lived in darkness, and then you were taken out of darkness and brought into the light. The person who is outside of Jesus Christ has an entirely different view of this world than the person who is in Christ. For when we are in Him, our eyes are suddenly opened, and we get a new sense of values. What is important? Yes, we can look at the creation and see how wonderfully it is made. Yes, we can look into the face of Jesus, which is even greater, and see His love. Our eyes have been opened. Once we can see that our greatest benefits go far beyond the grave, that while I'm here, I'll enjoy some of those benefits, the good things that a dollar bill can bring us, or whatever it might be. But the monetary things of life, if that's the very top of the list of our priorities and what we think is important, then we are living in darkness. If the greatest things is just another great time, living it up according to the traditions of this world, if the greatest things in life are another vacation at that gorgeous, gorgeous beach, beautiful as it is, created by God, if that's the top of our life's experience, then we are a people who live in darkness. But he has delivered us from out of this. And he has given us a new mission in life. And the mission is to serve him. That wherever I am, and whatever responsibilities I have been given, I am nevertheless first and foremost a believer in Christ, and he is the one who guides me. For when I fail, then he will grant me the forgiveness of my sin. I don't have to wallow in that guilt anymore. I don't have to try to find answers for why I acted as I did. I just did something that was wrong. Rich measure of grace. A people who come to taste that on a daily basis in the presence of Almighty God. I have thought of that often during these last days, as it seems television gives us a picture of the political arena of which we are a part. Of course there are mistakes that are made. Bad mistakes. And they might have been made because the motive was not good on the part of the person who was carrying out this office of the land. But we can be forgiven. Whoever we are, the President of the United States, a member of Congress, the governor, whoever is leading a group of people, the human being. They'll make mistakes. But when they live, understanding their mission, first to love the Lord Jesus Christ, and to live and to rule and to guide and to direct as he would have us do. And when we fail, and when we let these inner drives take over, we can come as priests into the presence of God, into the light, and see what a Savior we have, and we can start all over again with new strength and with new insights. Yes, friend. Your mission in life suddenly becomes different. For you seek not just to reach out and, like so many, condemn the spiritual bankruptcies of days that are around us, but you stand there not wanting to be like the world, but truly loving the people in this world, because Jesus loved them. And today, he who went ahead has left us here behind to do his work. It is true that while we are here, we are aliens. We are strangers. We cannot be a part of this world as sometimes they would like to have us be. No, Christ has set us aside to be his witness, that the people may see that we are different. And having seen that we are different, they may glorify God and join his church in the real sense of the word, simply in trusting Christ for all things. Yeah, it's a pretty wretched old world. You get tired of some of the things you hear and see. But when you're tired, I suggest that you turn to the second chapter of Peter. God will use him to give you a new picture, that one of his kingdom. Amen. You pray with me. Father in heaven, it is for this wretched world of which we are a part that we pray today. We thank you where you have lifted us out of that world. We did not come running out of it because we wanted to have something different. But you met us in your word. And you have told us, once you were no people, but now you're my people. Grant that we may live with that thought throughout the coming days. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the message and music in today's service has brightened your day and brought you comfort and peace in the week ahead. September is Anniversary Month for Christian Crusaders. Our first broadcast was aired September 6, 1936, live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Waterloo on WMT Radio. We now broadcast on 21 stations in 9 states across our nation, shortwave in Europe, and on the internet. With 75 years of continuous radio broadcasts, Christian Crusaders is now the 7th oldest radio ministry in the United States. We are grateful to you, our listener, for making this ministry possible through your prayers and financial support. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry dependent upon the gifts from you, our listeners. In September, many of our listeners give an anniversary gift of $75, $1 for each year of our ministry. We thank each of you for your gifts of any size and your prayers for our program. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Waterloo-Cedar Falls, Iowa area, you may dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio speaker on Christian Crusaders for the past 49 years.